No wonder the Christian is admonished to recognize it, yield to it, and profit from it. It is the key to the highest and purest ambitions of the believer's heart. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son, in whom he delighteth. Does God really discipline his children? The Bible answers, yes. Why does God discipline his children? The Bible answers, to help them grow to spiritual maturity. What possible good comes from God's discipline of his children? The Bible answer to that question is the subject of this study. In our previous study, we saw three great benefits which comes to the Christian who is disciplined of God. First, divine discipline assures him that he is a child of God. Second, divine discipline assures him that he is the object of the love of God. And third, divine discipline helps him grow in holiness according to the plan of God. So the present study will seek out four more benefits to be received from God's discipline according to Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. Let us be reminded first that the Bible term of discipline, or chastening as it is called in the King James Version, is not punishment but child training. So here are the further benefits of God training His children. Divine discipline encourages spiritual strength and health. The end of all discipline of God upon His children is that they might lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Christians sometimes grow weary in the way. They let their hands relax and grow slack. Like the athlete who has used up all of his energy, they're prone to drop by the way, but they must not. The athlete who persists beyond the exhaustion of his energy finds his second wind and continues in the contest. The Christian who does not stop when his natural strength is abated, but who persists in the strength which God gives, is responding properly to the training of God. For like Paul, he learns, when I am weak, then am I strong. Divine discipline sees that we have the proper spiritual diet, take the proper spiritual exercise, and live by the rules which assure spiritual health and strength. God's goal is to produce Christians who are ready to every good work. So thank God for the spiritual vitality He produces in believers by means of His blessed ministry of discipline. Again, divine discipline makes possible spiritual victory. Hebrews 12, verse 13 sets out the goal of spiritual growth as twofold. First, the Christian must walk straight forward without wavering from the path. And second, those who are feeble can follow his example and be led aright as a result. It is very important that the Christian set the right example. He is to be always blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, holding forth the word of life, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Now that is the kind of daily victory which God produces in the lives of Christians who submit to His blessed discipline. Now people have a tendency to follow a strong leader. Now that's true in the spiritual as well as in the natural realm. If a Christian falters in his way, some weaker brother is sure to be injured by a wrong example. So the discipline of God designs to enable the stronger to help the weaker, for the victory of the one aids the victory of the other. God wants the best for His children. That's why He trains them by divine discipline day by day. It is a good thing to be judged and chastened of the Lord, for thereby one will not be condemned with the world. Now, sixth, divine discipline produces maturity in the Christian. Oh, thank God such maturity is possible. Thank God also that He is producing it in us. Consider this word of 1 Peter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Did you catch it? God's purpose in discipline is to make the Christian perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle him. Well, what does that mean? It means God gives him mastery, makes him steady, settles him on a firm foundation, and strengthens him in good works. Peter learned by experience and passed the information on to us that divine discipline produces maturity. Job went through much trials. He is an example of enduring hardship with unwavering faith in God, and he has become an inspiration to multitudes who suffer. But there is a key to Job's victory over suffering. It is stated in Job 23, verse 10, in these words, "He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now consider these facts. First, Job recognized that God was aware and involved in all that was happening to him. Second, Job knew the trial was under the supervision of a good God. Third, Job knew he would come through the trial. And fourth, Job knew that when the trial was over, he would be greatly improved by the dross being taken away. Job is proof of how divine discipline produces maturity in the Christian. And seventh, divine discipline brings spiritual joy. Now, not at the moment of its experience, of course, for no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but joy follows trial. The psalmist understood that truth and wrote in Psalm 94, verse 12, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." Now, blessed is used in the Bible to refer to the spiritual joy which comes upon receiving the favor of God. It is an appropriate description of the man whom God is training through divine discipline. Job expresses the truth even more clearly, saying, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." And finally, divine discipline produces Christ-likeness in the Christian. Now that is God's ultimate goal. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." The realization of that ideal is the desire of every true Christian. T.O. Chisholm wrote, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart." No wonder the Bible expresses the fact and the importance of divine discipline. No wonder the Christian is admonished to recognize it, yield to it, and profit from it. It is the key to the highest and purest ambitions of the believer's heart. So hear this word from the lips of Jesus, recorded by the pen of John. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent."